All right, this morning we're going to get into a little something here called the faith life. Now, I cannot overstress how significant this is. Everything from God's word is significant, but you have to understand the principle of prerequisites. Because if you try to go into certain things without understanding certain foundations, you may have some working knowledge, but you're not going to be able to appropriate things properly because you're missing core foundations. The faith life is one of these core foundations that you have to have, that you have to be locked in on. And if you do not, it will throw various other things off. And as a part of this, we're going to kind of take a bit of a journey through the life of Abraham and Sarah, because scripture lets us know that Abraham in particular was the father of faith. That we can look at, you know, his processing in life and learn how to live a life by faith. Now, we are saved by the grace of God through faith. You don't get God's grace. You don't enjoy God's, listen, covenant of grace without faith. So you have to learn how to live life based upon the faith of Almighty God in order to enjoy his grace. If you do not, you wind up just simply having religious activities, spiritual exercises. So it's very key. But even before I get in there, I wanted to share this with you. Someone say this week. I shared last week it was coming soon, so it's even sooner now that we have some new YouTube channels that we're debuting early this week. So tomorrow, Tuesday, we want you to, you know, kind of check out some things. I have one. I think. Thank you for the hand clap up there. All right. Yeah, so we got myself. The name of the channel is Fresh Air for Life. Fresh Air for Life. Get some fresh air. You know, once a week, going to be uploading some videos just to give, you know, some fresh air to start off your week and to be able to live victoriously. And then Pastor Rhonda as well. She's doing Your Wonderful Fabulous Life. Come on now. Everybody in here should have one of those. Wonderful Fabulous Life. So you can find these on YouTube. They're there now. Matter of fact, well, they're not even open yet because we still be tweaking some things and had them private, but they'll be open here early this week and you can jump right in on. So check them out, subscribe, share with some others, give us some feedback, comments, and everything that's on there. And then also starting this week as well, having a weekly blog that will be on the website. So that'll be coming up on every Wednesday. So look for that on this Wednesday. We're excited about it. You know, we've been working on this pretty much all year. And just trying to tweak it to make sure, you know, it is well, as we just want to help to minister, obviously, to our church family, but also to the community out here that needs to understand God's love and purpose for their lives. So if you're in agreement, would you shout glory? Yes, and amen. Now, this first installment on this series is what I'm just simply calling two trees. Someone say two trees. Now, you may have more than two trees at your house, in your backyard or front yard or in your neighborhood and so forth. But two trees, when you understand the significance of two trees and how to choose the right tree, it sends you on the proper journey of living life by faith. So let's jump right into it. We're going to begin to look here in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 through 17. It says, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ." Oh, yes. It is the power of God at work. I love the fact that the good news about Jesus is power. Do you understand that? The good news about Jesus is power that transforms lives. See, it is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. Gentiles, of course, is just everyone who was not a Jew. So that would include, you know, most of us, unless you're Jewish in this place. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish. How? By faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Or as the King James says it, the just shall live by faith. But I love the element there where you see the good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. Now, whether you know it or not, whether you've embraced it or not, and I believe most of us in here at 8:30, we understand, you know, that God has made us right. Come on, say it with me. Say, God has made me right. You can't make yourself right. So watch this. Stop trying. Stop pushing forth these religious efforts, or as Hebrews chapter 9 calls it, dead works, trying to make yourself what God already made you. God made you right. And it's not based upon how you dress and, you know, whether you have a tattoo or earring or whatever particular case, or even how many Bible verses you can, you know, memorize and quote. It's based upon the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. So now, notice here in Romans chapter 7, verse 4. It says, so my friends, this is something like what has taken place with you. When Christ died, he took that entire rule-dominated way of life with him and left it in the tomb. Boy, I like this. Come on now. He took the entire rule-dominated law, living, you know, based upon, you know, commandments. Remember, there's 613 laws that God gave to the children of Israel. There were civil laws, there were moral laws, and there were ceremonial laws. Those were really the three categories of them. 613. Come on, you know you can't even remember 32 of them. Matter of fact, if I ask right now, what are the Ten Commandments? Most of us wouldn't even be able to say the Ten Commandments. You couldn't remember. You couldn't, you know, contain that, you know, in a daily sense of living. 613 laws that you had to give attention unto. When Christ came, he died and took that entire rule dominated way of life down with him and left it in the tomb. So when he resurrected, that didn't come up too. Leaving you free to marry a resurrection life and bear offspring of what? Faith. For God. For as long as we live that old way of life, doing whatever we felt we could get away with, sin was calling most of the shots. Someone knows what how that felt. I know I did. As the old law code hemmed us in, and this made us all the more rebellious. In the end, all we had to show for it was miscarriages and stillbirths. And then verse 6, now this is what our student ministry, Unchained, is built upon. Right here, verse 6. But now that we are no longer shackled to that domineering maid of sin and out from under all those oppressive regulations in fine print, we're free to live a new life in the freedom of God. Woo! Glory to God. Come on, somebody say I'm free. Free to live a new life in the freedom of Almighty God. Why? Because we're no longer shackled or chained to this dominating maid of sin, and we're out from under all those oppressive regulations and fine prints, commandments, whatever you want to call them. God says, I have made you free. Now, notice this. We'll just kind of simply describe then the faith life for you right up front. So you have this through the whole series. The faith life is a life focused on growing in relationship with the one who's made us rather than focusing on religious, moral, or spiritual codes of conduct. Let me say it again. The faith life is a life lived focused on growing in relationship with the one who's made us rather than focusing on religious, moral, or spiritual codes of conduct. Now, you've been around here long enough, you've heard this in various language before, but I want to cut a little bit deeper into it to help us really understand how to guard our day-to-day life where we don't slip back into religious, moral, and spiritual codes of conduct. Because if you don't put a check on this, you will go there easily. And watch this, and you'll judge other people that way. Oh, you're not. Oh, really? Come on now. You start judging other people that way because that's really how you're judging yourself. The faith life is a life, again, of freedom, joy, and ongoing transformation. Come on. We never, if I can put it this way, I think you understand, you never grow up in the faith life. See, the moment you think you've grown, you've jumped out of the faith life. See, because you think you've done everything that's needed and necessary, and I am now holy. There's not a whole bunch that you can do. Matter of fact, there's nothing you can do to make yourself holy. But that's how we were taught, many of us, that we'll do this and you'll be holy. Come on now, some of y'all remember this. You do this, you'll be holy. And then we took the effort and said, all right, just do that. Okay, I'll do it. So we did those three things, and then they tricked us. Because after you did those three things, they say, all right, now here's these you need to do too. Oh, really? Okay, well, I want to be holy. So we work on that too. And then we get that and be like, yeah, but then this. You'd be like, what? Oh, my goodness. But I thought I stopped doing this and I stopped doing that. Yeah. You know, but, you know, it's not only the sins of commission, there's the sins of omission, too. What about the things that you didn't do that you should have done? I mean, you just continue to go on this, again, hamster wheel of trying to earn something that Almighty God has given you freely. This faith life, understand this, is marked by a deep, authentic love for God, a passionate hope that comes from God, and an undying trust and confidence in the very character of God. This is, you know, the foundation, you know, of the faith life. Understand this about the faith life. It is not focused on acquiring more wealth, health, or trappings in life. That's probably a good response. That's probably a real good response there. But now watch this. I'm going to balance it out, though. It's not focused on acquiring more wealth, health, and trappings of life, although these things continually follow the faith life. They follow it, but it's not the focus of the faith life. But it does follow. See, because faith will always produce favor. Favor is not fair. Come on now. Good stuff comes your way every day. Somebody should have said, I received that right there. Yeah. But it's not because we're chasing the stuff. We chase after God and God alone. And as we are growing in our relationship with God, living a life by faith, then these other things now come along with it. It follows it. This is what Jesus is talking about. Seek ye first what? And all this stuff comes along with it. But seek first the kingdom. Seek this relationship with the one who loves you, the one who's birthed you, the one now who's designed you. Seek that, and these other things come your way. Yeah, that indeed is the faith life. Now, let's transition for a bit just right here to Abraham, because I want to at least give you a little introduction about him, because his life is fascinating to me. In Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, he wrote this letter, you know, to the church believers there in Rome. And he begins to talk about Abraham, and he paints this picture right here in verse 18. We'll just look at this snapshot. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. Oh, I like that right there. Yeah. When everything looked hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. That should be able to be the commentary about our lives. When everything may look hopeless, we believe anyway, because we live not on the basis of what we see, but on what God said he would do. That's already done. But now here's the reality. Abraham didn't get that way overnight. We're going to take a look at it. It took Abraham 25 to 38 years to really arrive to that place. God had to work with him. And this is the thing I love about it. You know, God loves to work with his children. Come on, as long as you stay pliable, long as you are able to be molded in the potter's hands, God said, I'll work with you. I'll never give up on you. Oh, boy, you're doing this, but I'm telling you, you shouldn't do that. You did it anyway. That's all right. I'm still here. Come on now. I'm going to get you still to where I told you need to go. But now we got to work out, you know, the side effects that you've brought in from this situation. God says, I'm with you. You got to recognize, I'm probably ahead of myself a couple of weeks here, but I'm going to stress this. God will fight with you to get his will to come to pass in your life. He will fight with you. Like, no, go this way. He's never given up on us. So Abraham arrives at a beautiful place. I mean, in fact, you see again, in the face of hopelessness, he believed anyway. I mean, he's focused. He refused to focus on what he couldn't do. And he just rather wants to focus on what God could do and what God said he would do. He chose not to dwell on his inabilities and then promote them with his mouth. I'm going to say that again. Don't dwell on your inabilities and promote them with your mouth. Many of us were taught something, you know, growing up. if you don't have anything good to say. Now, at some point, that doesn't mean you should stay quiet the rest of your life. At some point, you then need to transition to start saying the good. But if right now, or watch this, in that moment, when your emotions want to go there, okay, see, now I need to stand up. See, y'all looking at me all holy like I have no idea what you're talking about now, Pastor. I am thoroughly controlled. In that moment when your emotions want to go there, come on now. You want to back up, you know, to this particular place, you know, right here. That, you know what, I'm not going to focus on what's triggering on the inside of me, and I'm not going to give life to it by the words of my mouth. You know, we many of the men, and you know, and I took our sons to see Kingdom Men this last week. So on Monday night was a showing. Dr. Tony Evans did. It was a great time, and so I took all three of my sons. And so, you know, they enjoyed it. You know, my two youngest sons, you know, I was a little concerned about them, but they took it in, you know, well. And then afterwards was able just to kind of talk with them. Great opportunity. And came to a place where I said, you know what, here's one thing. Let's make some commitments to each other. I'm going to go first. I'm committing to you to be more patient with you. Because I had found that over some recent, you know, months, some different things was going on that just seemed like I wasn't being as patient. Now, I know y'all don't have these kind of challenges, but different things, you know, kids was doing, and you know, you kind of want to be like, "What, boy, what's wrong with you?" Now, again, I know y'all don't have those challenges, so I'll just speak for me. And so I looked at him and said, I apologize if that has happened, and I'm committing to you that I'll be more patient. Anytime you make commitments, there's going to be opportunity. And sure enough, later, you know, later on in the week, here it came. You know, now they made some commitments too. So it was good. So when certain situation happened, you know, I felt my parental emotional button getting pushed. I felt like, you know, somebody may be trying me in this house. Come on. The men know what I'm talking about up here. Like, we ain't going for that. And then I hear my own words. You made a commitment. I said, yep, you're right. I made a commitment. So I would say it to them. I said, I made a commitment to you. I said, I made a commitment. I said, because what you're doing right now, I actually want to get you. Can we talk? We can talk, right? That's all right. He says, but I made a commitment. Now, remember, you made a commitment to me, too. Come on now. I'm going to stay with my commitment, but I need for you to stay with yours too. So rather than let myself go there, I remembered my commitment, and it helped me now to, watch this, love my sons and daughter through a life of faith. See, everything, listen, if you catch hold of this, everything that you do marriage this way. You raise your children this way. You do business this way. So it's called a life of faith. All right, so notice what you see on the screen here. How we view and approach God determines what our relationship with him will look like. Now, I've shared it with you before, and you can go back. It's still on the app, message of the proper touching. How you touch God determines what you get from God. Right in line with that is what I want you to focus in on now. How we view and approach God determines what our relationship with him will look like. So for me, you know, coming up, I viewed God as kind of a hard taskmaster and the like. So building relationship with God, that was foreign. Because I viewed him, you know, as this kind of, you know, judgmental God that I was just like two steps from a lightning bolt. It really structured my quote unquote relationship with him, which I had none. How you view God, how you approach him determines what your relationship with him is now going to look like. Now, here's an interesting statement, and I like this, and I want to share it with you. When you're in relationship with God the right way, it brings such a sense of peace. Relationship with God is the antidote to temptation winning in your life. Here's the statement. Temptation is a test of your relationship, not your self-control. It's the things that are trying to pull upon you. It's testing, are you really committed here? As Jesus said to Peter when he was resurrected, do you love me? And if you love me, feed my sheep. See, when you love me, you follow what I say. Now, watch this. The focus is on the love, and then the doing comes natural. See, we've had this thing all mixed up. You go back to John chapter 14. I know it. If you love me, you keep my commandments. So we focus on the commandments, thinking that, well, if I just do the commandments, that'll prove I love God. He said, no, you got this thing backwards. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It'll be the most natural thing. Again, I love my wife. So it's easy for me to serve her. I don't wake up, just like, oh man, Rhonda's still in this house. Oh girl. It's not that way. And ladies and gentlemen, if you know of any relationships that way, have them call me tomorrow morning. Yeah, we'll help you. Praise God. But when you love, then the natural things that are happening is that you're honoring, you're cherishing, and the like. Yeah. Temptation is really not a test of self-control. It's a test of your relationship. How strong is your relationship with God? How strong is it? Listen. Let me help you. If you find yourself constantly giving in to temptation, your relationship with God may not be as strong as you thought. Now, I know that hits our sense of spiritual pride, because I know the Bible. I've been doing this for a while. I've been saved longer. You've been saved, Pastor. How are you going to tell me? Just told you. All right, anyway. Genesis chapter 2. Come on, we can have a little fun with this. Now, most of us in here, I'm sure, understand this. The direction from God in the beginning for Adam and his wife that Adam later named Eve. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17 says this. But the Lord God warned Adam, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Ooh. Now, God has set up Adam, in the garden, had given him wealth and the like. He's got a place to live. He's got responsibility. And he has the most important thing. He has relationship with God. They're walking together. They're talking together. I mean, it's good. Just the way God wanted it. And Adam knows nothing else. And he's just enjoying. And God says to him, says, now, look, son, there's a multitude of trees out here, and you can eat of any of them. He says, but this one, I don't want you to touch that one. Leave that one alone. It is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, also, there's a tree in there called the tree of life. Now, after Adam disobeys God and winds up eating from this tree, God then has to protect him from eating from the tree of life. Something that he should have had, something that he should have been enjoying, quite frankly, what he should have chosen over the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he doesn't. We know the story. Serpent comes along, starts to talk, to Eve. Adam's right there while it's all going on, listening to the whole thing. And interesting enough, the serpent appeals to Eve's desire to be like God. It says, if God doesn't want you to eat this because he knows you'll be like him. And watch this. And Eve is thinking like, is that right? And see, this is where you have to be careful that even kind of an ambition of godliness, if it's not directed the proper way, can be distorted and leave you off track. He appealed to her sense of holiness. She took the fruit, of course, ate it, and then gave it to her husband that was right there with her. Now, let's understand what the fruit is. I know Sunday school stories that picture the fruit as an apple and all kind of stuff. Truth be told, it's really not. If you just take the word for what it says, I think we understand. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, the fruit really was knowledge. Knowledge gained and acquired the wrong way. See, you can get knowledge. There's nothing wrong with knowledge. God wants us to have knowledge. Watch this. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. So there's nothing wrong with the knowledge. But God says now, but there's a way for you to get knowledge. And that ain't it. Relationship with me will give you all the knowledge that you need. But they chose to go just the opposite and to try to acquire things on their own. So living now based upon knowledge, watch this, data, information, kind of worldview, all of that kind of mixed in. This is the fruit that they took up. And then based upon that fruit, it did several things to them. Number one. When they took of that fruit, one of the first things that you see is that it caused a separation between them and God. Now understand something. God didn't separate himself from them. The moment they took this knowledge that way, they immediately separated themselves from God to the point God has to come hunting for them. Because now, watch this, now they're not relating to God in a faith life. Now they're relating to God based upon knowledge. Well, let me help me understand that better. You know, again, I'll share with you, you know, my past experience. I can remember being a real young man. I don't know what age I was. And I came across these magazines. I think one was like Playboy. Another, I think, had a title like Hustler or something like that. You know, I'm just a little kid. Playboy, I'm a boy. I want to play. Come on, you don't know. And I find myself opening the magazine and kind of going through it. I'm like, whoa. Stuff I started to see. Again, I know nobody else in here has ever had experiences like that. And in today's, you know, kind of world, it's more so everything coming through the computer, your phone, you know. But at that particular time, it was magazines. And I found myself looking at this like, whoa, oh, oh, ah. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Now listen, everything that I saw was accurate knowledge. Everything I saw about, you know, these women, what they were showing, it was accurate knowledge of their body parts and et cetera. But the way I got it set me up for distortion, abuse, and it now makes me kind of relate to my parents and others in authority a little, you know, different way. Because now you start to hide because you kind of understand, you know, what I've just seen, I shouldn't go tell them about. So you start to hide. See, it's not only important that we learn, it's about where we learn certain things from. See, where do you learn? Where have you learned your political worldview? From your college campus? What, from CNN? Fox News, MSNBC, that's where you get it from. That's eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Come on now. Nothing wrong with watching the news. Nothing wrong with these particular things. But we have to understand, if we're going to live a faith life, we have to learn how to take our relationship with God and impose it upon everything. And things then that try to come from the outside in, it has to stop and check with God before it can come into the house. And when the Spirit of God said, keep that out of here, then our response is that doesn't come. That doesn't come in here. Doesn't come at all. So it's not only important what we learn, but who we learn it from. You know, from that experience, you know, one of my aims then has been like, okay, you know, I need to teach my children, especially my sons, you know, regarding sex. Because if not, wind up getting bad information, which only leads to abuse. You know, my father passed about 4 years ago now. And I pretty much teased him up until his 90s. He's like, you know, you never talked to me about sex. Not once. So how was I supposed to know? Learning from my friends? Dear God, they had no clue. But you think they are an authority on it. That's a word for my unchained students that's in here right now. Listen to your parents. That's worth a big offering right there. Yeah, listen to them. Here's a question for you that you have to ask. Do you relate to God through the tree of life or through the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Now, I would say most Christians relate to God based upon the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And every non-Christian does. Every non-Christian does. But even most Christians relate to God through the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the acquisition of knowledge. And watch this. We have the audacity sometimes to acquire knowledge away from God and then judge God. So listen, I'll give you an example. This is how individuals wind up saying, well, if he's really this loving, good God, how could this happen? See, because we took some knowledge about something that happened, and now we're judging God. Well, see, you went and got that the wrong way. Come back to God to find out what's really going on here. Is this helping anybody? This fruit of knowledge, it happens when we consume it, when we ingest it, when we take it from the outside, we put it, you know, on the inside. This is what Jesus is talking about. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, what you're putting in in abundance. We can tell what we are eating and meditating upon, typically by what we say and by what we do. It's really this whole life of faith and life is really very uncomplicated. And a lot of times I know individuals got, you know, offended at me. It was just like, well, you know, I know what the Lord says here. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's wrong. You can't tell me. I just told you it's wrong. See, you want to be grown. So you want to be grown. So you think you can't learn from anyone. So you think you know. Okay, well, if you know why you're hurting, if you know how come it's not changing. Now, here's a statement a man shared with me about 3 years ago, I think. It's blessed me and I hold on to it. Let me make sure I get it right. For the most part, it's this. Stop protecting what doesn't work. Come on, it's not working, but you want to keep protecting. You want to keep it sacred. Come on, things like this. This is what I've always done. Okay, and maybe that's why you always had issues. Oh boy, I'm trying to get us to shift in how we do life. Do life from the tree of life, not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Taking it in. Because as what God said, it is deadly. It is deadly. It opens us up to so much destruction. It's absolutely deadly. Focus on the tree of life. And it's the faith life that is eating from the tree of life. Now, let me go back to Abraham here for a minute before we close. Abraham struggled to live the faith life for those 25, 38 years was due to his choice of trees. He was following and trying to go with God based upon a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it was hemming him up every time. And like many of us, he would go in and out. So kind of like one minute, just like, yes, I go with you, God. I trust you, God. I got it, God. Yes, yes. And then something would happen, be like, Sarah, just tell him you my sister. Now, listen to that response. Just tell him you're my sister. Well, what is that coming from? That's coming from, I got some knowledge that these people there are dangerous and the like. And baby, you're fine. And man, I know what's happened in the past. There's no consideration of God in the covenant now. It's just doing life out of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. That was his struggle. And it winds up being our struggle today. Listen, I would dare say every single last one of us were brought up in a way to relate to God based on the tree of knowledge and good and evil. So we're working it. We're working. We're trying to work it. We're trying to get better. We're just constantly trying to get better. Listen, listen, listen. You are great like you are. Stop trying to get better and just be the better that you are. Let it come forth. You are a phenomenal husband. You are a dynamic wife. Let it come forth. It's the way God has made you. Just allow it now to settle in. Here. We're in right here with these two verses. Remember this. In Romans chapter 3, verse 22 and 28. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true. Listen. For everyone who believes, no matter who we are, you're made right with God based upon putting our faith in Jesus. And it applies to every single person on the planet that chooses to believe. And then verse 28 says, we are made right with God through faith and not, listen, not by obeying the law. Or let me say it this way, not by eating from the wrong tree. That's not how you're made right. We're made right by being in relationship with God through faith, eating from the tree of life. Come on, live a faith life. The just shall live by faith. Yeah, I think we had our 7-on-7. We had 7 speakers ministering to us on this past Wednesday night. And Valene, our administrative assistant, she was one of them. And she shared this statement that I love it, that challenges are normal. But defeat is unscriptural. I said, oh yeah, yeah. I said, that's 100%. Come on, challenges and things are normal. But defeat, that's unscriptural. Don't you settle for defeat. Don't you just settle for losing. Don't you just settle for what this is just the way it is. You've been designed differently. Get out of that tree. Get over into this tree of life. There's still more life for you to live. And to live it strong. But you got to choose this every single day. Every day you got to wake up. God, I relate to you just based upon this relationship out of the tree of life. You've made me good, so therefore I am good, and I already know you're good. Because I'm made in your image after your likeness. You're good, I'm good. Man, it's good. Just enjoy relationship with God. And demand from yourself not to do life with God just simply based upon head knowledge. Now, I know that can be challenging for many of us, you know, with our degrees and things of that nature. I'm not saying turn your head off, but make your head subservient and submissive to God. And do it every day, Well, you can. You can. Father, we honor you now and give you thanks and praise for your presence. Thank you, Lord God, that we have relationship with you.